الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أولياؤه إلا المتقون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Saddam Shaikh, they have taught that there are 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
20 points for those who want and seek and desire the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of those, we have covered 16 so far, and four are left. So the next point, which is number 17, is to practice humility, that a person should be humble on this path. If you want to attain the nearness and closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow in the footsteps of the pious, then we have to adopt humility. One of the attributes that Allah Ta'ala mentions about the Ibadur Rahman, the servants of the merciful, is that the people of humility. Yamshuna ala al-ardi hauna, that when they walk on the face of this earth, they walk with humility. This is an attribute that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, and this is the attribute of the true servants of Allah Ta'ala, of Ar-Rahman, Ibadur Rahman. What does that mean? What does it mean to be humble? So there are two basic principles that we have to understand. So first thing regarding humility is that we should think in our heart and in our mind that everyone is better than me. We should think in our mind and in our heart that everyone is better than me. Everyone is better than me in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is a problem because most of the time we always think that we are better than other people. And the opposite of humility is this ujub and kibr and takabbur, this vanity, conceit, pride, arrogance. So these are diseases of the heart, and they're not going to go away on its own. And they're only going to go away when we fill our heart with humility. And these are very devastating diseases of the heart. So for example, in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the person who has even a drop, even an atom of kibr, Not even takabbur, an atom of kibr. Kibr is just pride. An atom of kibr. Kibr is that you view yourself as better than others. You're not necessarily acting upon that impulse. You're not treating others as lower than you. You're not acting in a way that you think that you're superior. You're just viewing yourself in your mind, in your heart, that I'm better than others. So it's not related. Kibr is not related to any action. It's a mental state of the mind. It's a feeling of the heart that I am better than others. I'm someone and I'm better than others. So just that feeling that I'm better than others, if you have that even one iota, one drop in your heart, the Prophet said that that person will not go into Jannah. So what does that mean? If we translate using this word, that any person who in any slightest of sense, they view themselves to be better than any person on this earth, they will not go into Jannah. Now let me repeat this because this is really important. That a person who even in the slightest of sense, they view themselves to be better than any other person on the face of this earth, they will not go into Jannah. That's what it means. Because kibr again means to view oneself as better than others. And even one atom of kibr, which in our language means the slightest sense, in any slightest of sense, any person, when they view themselves to be better than any other person on this earth, they won't be able to go to Jannah. Allahu Akbar. That's why the teachings of the Siddiqeen and the Sadiqeen, the righteous and the pious, they stress this thing that one should have humility and humbleness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the question that how can we do this practically? How can we feel that others are better than us? So one way the mashayikh they teach is that, okay, the way we can do this is that one should view yourself as not just the lowest of believers, you should view yourself as the lowest of humanity. And you should view yourself as the lowest of all creation. Allahu Akbar. So how do we understand this? So let's start. One way is that let's say, if there is a person who's older than you, then the way you should regard them is, okay, mashallah, they're older than me. They've lived longer than me. So they would have fasted more Ramadans than me. They would have prayed more Salah than me. They would have more Amal than me. They would have done more Ibadat than me, and hence they're better than me. Then if a person is younger, you meet someone who's younger than you, then you should look at them and say that, okay, they're younger than me, so they must have less sins than me. They must have made less mistakes than me. Their life is shorter than mine, so they're better than me. So that's one way, because everyone is either going to be older than you or younger than you. So this is one way how we can view every single one as better than us. Then sometimes a person might say that, no, what if somebody is an open sinner? So in Arabic, in Quran, Allah Ta'ala calls that person fasiq, someone who is openly, outwardly, unabashedly sinning. So how can I view that person as better than me? So once a person, he asked the sheikh that same question. And the sheikh said, very simple, that you should think about that person, that today he is a sinner, but what if sometime in the future he makes true tawbah to Allah? And when he makes true tawbah, Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change all of his sins into good deeds. All of his sayyi'at will be transformed into hasanat. And then he will have more good deeds than I have because of his tawbah. He will have more good deeds than I have. And then because of his tawbah, he will not have any sins. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that there are such people that Allah ta'ala changes their sins into good deeds. So hence this person is now better than me. Or we can think about that person, that if that person ever accepts hidayah. So let's say, now we look at some unbeliever. So how can we think about an unbeliever? We should view that unbeliever is also potentially better than me. Because that unbeliever, he has the potential to accept hidayat. And if that person ever accepts hidayah, guidance, when they accept that hidayah, then they may follow Islam better than me. They might follow Islam in a way that is better than me. Right now, I am in Islam, but I'm not following it so well. And in the future, this person might learn Islam, may follow Islam, and might follow it in such a way that he's going to be better than me. So this person who's an unbeliever right now is also better than me. So to view oneself, to view everyone as always better than us, to always view them, anyone, whenever you go out, you meet someone, we should always view them to be better than us and always view ourselves to be lower than everyone else. And this is not exaggeration. This is not that what we call mubalagha, that we're just exaggerating. This is reality. This should be our reality. I should be humble. And then they took it one step further and said that even we should view the animals as better than us. And this again is very strange, but they said that one should think like that, that even animals are better than me. Yani, view their dog as better than us. View the horse is better than us. So let's just take one or two aspects about the dog, right? How can this work? How can you view your dog as better than us? Why? Because the dog is more faithful to its master, its owner. The dog is more faithful to its owner than we are faithful to our owner, our Rabb Allah Ta'ala. And now why is that? Well, we see that when the dog remains awake the whole night out of obedience, because the master tells it that you are at the night guard. You have to guard the night. So it remains awake the whole night out of obedience to its master without any expectation, without any hope of reward, without any promise of ajr. The dog, he has no promise of ajr. He has no promise of jannat. No promise of any ni'mat, nothing. No expectation, no hope, no promises, nothing. And practically, and we see this, that in the morning, the master might just give a few scraps of bread. That's it. And then when it eats those few scraps of bread, there's no bed for that dog to sleep. It did all of its night duty. No bed for it to sleep. No hot breakfast for it to get, for it to eat. Just go lie in some corner. That's what the dog does. Does the whole duty for the entire night and then just gets a few scraps of bread in the morning and then no bed to sleep on, no hot breakfast to eat. Just goes and lies in some corner. And then more than that, If the master beats the dog with shoes or with a stick, you will find that the dog will never ever leave its master. So loyal. Allah Ta'ala tests us a little bit and we start complaining. We leave our ibadat. We leave Allah Ta'ala. The dog is being beaten by the master, but the dog never ever leaves the master. We complain, we leave our ibadah, we leave Allah Ta'ala. So there's so many examples our mashayikh they mention in which they say that the dog is actually better than a human being. The dog, the animals are better than us. And this is a training of the mashayikh, that a person is being trained to view himself as lower than even animals, lower than even unbelievers. So then how can he act with arrogance with his fellow believers? If the training is that this is training, this is the antidote, that train yourself to view yourself as lower than even animals and even lower than unbelievers, so that you are not never going to be arrogant with your fellow believers. And can you imagine that person who feels this, who feels that I'm lower than animals, I'm lower than unbelievers? Can you imagine that? How much they would have humility with their fellow believers? They would never imagine that I'm better than them. So we have to be trained in humility for this arrogance to go away. It's not going to go on its own. So the young should view themselves as lower than the old. The old should view themselves as lower than the young. So everyone can view oneself as lower than the other. So this was a major, major training of the Sahaba, major training of the Sunnah and the Sharia to feel humility. You can start thinking that humility is the master attribute of a believer. In fact, some of the great awliya of this ummah, they say that humility was the single greatest attribute of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because it's natural that if you have some fazilat, some virtue, it's natural to feel it a little bit. It's natural that you can feel that a little bit even. And imagine that if you have some virtue, it's natural almost to feel that I have something. And here the Prophet ﷺ did not have some virtue, he had the greatest of virtues. He was the greatest of all creation, the greatest of the Anbiya, the greatest of insan, the greatest of makhluk, greater than Jibreel alayhis salam, greater than all the angels, greater than all the humans. He was the greatest of all creation. And he had no arrogance at all. Can you imagine that? Allahu Akbar. Being the greatest and being the most humble simultaneously. This is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So incredible. The greatest, the being that was the greatest, and the being that was the most humble at the same time, simultaneously. So that is why they say that this was humility was the Prophet's greatest attribute. So what does that mean for us, for me and you? It means that this is a real sunnat for us to have. The real sunnat is humility, his humility. The greatest sunnah of the heart is humility. This is, and even in our own specific teaching on this path of the Salikin, the path of the righteous, They teach that the hardest thing and the last thing to remove, to be removed from your heart, is this slight feeling of conceit or vanity or self-love. They teach this, that the hardest thing, the last sin that is removed from the heart, is this ujub, this feeling of conceit. And they say the greatest and the end of ikhlaq, the pinnacle, the peak of good manners, the peak, the mirage of morals and adab and good character and akhlaq, is to have humility. That's the climax, the intiha. It's the end. It's the end. And then we should look at ourselves and see how many of us, we are so far from this. Someone prays one tahajjud, and we start thinking that we are better than the other person. We do one act of charity, and we think we are better than the other person. They were people who would pray tahajjud every night. The early Muslims would pray tahajjud every night. And then they would cry in forgiveness that Allah, we are unworthy. And we pray tahajjud one night and we think we are worthy. Ajib. Strange. They pray tahajjud every night and they thought we are unworthy. We pray tahajjud one night, we think we are worthy. We think now that we're worthy of some maqam. We're worthy of something. In the books, there's mentioned a hikayat. Someone prayed tahajjud one day, and then now he started. He was waiting that now when will the revelation come from Allah? This is how sometimes people think. We think we are so worthy of some maqam and rank. So this is another aspect of humility, to view that we are unworthy, to view that we are unworthy. The Sahaba Ikram used to recite the Quran weepingly, longingly, feeling that they were unworthy. And the day a person, we should have humility. Allah tells everything, we are nothing. Allah is everyone, Allah Ta'ala is everything, and we are nothing. In fact, this is the first line of the Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises are to Allah alone. Alhamdulillah. Praise itself befits Allah, Allah alone. Praise itself is proper to Allah Ta'ala alone. Nothing and no one is praiseworthy, except only Allah Ta'ala is praiseworthy. So Allah Ta'ala is praiseworthy and we are completely unworthy of praise. As completely worthy of praise Allah Ta'ala alone is, as completely unworthy of praise everyone else is. That's what it means. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Any first line of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala wanted to clean us. Tell us that you are not, Allah Ta'ala is everything, we are nothing. We are supposed to feel that humility, even when you're reading the first line. Allah Ta'ala wanted to make it clear that everything else other than Allah is nothing. If there is anyone who has anything, it's only the grace of Allah Ta'ala. It's not really theirs. It's a gift from Allah. It's not their greatness. It's Allah's greatness. It's not their praise. It's praise to Allah. And this is why all the great people, they would always say all the time that Alhamdulillah, I'm nothing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything. In fact, one other way to practice humility is just to say Alhamdulillah make this into a habit and recite this all the time. Because shukr is the antidote to kibr. Shukr and kibr cannot simultaneously coexist in one heart. Being grateful to Allah and having pride cannot simultaneously coexist. So if you do shukr, then one will save themselves from pride. That's why all the great people, they would always say this. The Alhamdulillah, I'm nothing, Allah is everything. And then there is another way to remain humble, which is to look at our own faults. The first way that we've mentioned was that we to view yourself as lower than everyone else. Second way is to do shukr. And the third, that shukr means that Allah, you are everything and I'm nothing. Alhamdulillah. And third is to look at our own faults, to notice our own faults, and to notice the good actions and the good attributes of other people. This will also create humility in us. To look at our own faults and to notice the good actions and good attributes of others, this creates humility. But the mistake that we make here is that we do the exact opposite. We notice the faults of others and we notice the good attributes in ourselves. So when we notice the faults in others and the good attributes in ourselves, we will never become humble. So for example, we're always waiting and watching that, oh, look, he made this mistake. He made this mistake. And they're just noticing others. Noticing other people's mistake all the time. And sometimes people, all they can do is just notice someone else's mistakes. And sometimes there's so many people around us who have so many good attributes. Even that person who has a mistake, that person also has so many wonderful attributes. But you can't see that wonderful attribute. We are only noticing the faults of others. So this is also a sign of arrogance. And our mashayikh, they train us this way, that a person who comes to you, noticing the faults of others, means that they're really diseased. He has so much ujub in himself. This act of noticing the faults of others. So the reason is because, do you want anyone to point out your own faults? So you're treating them lower than the way you would want to be treated. To treat others lower than how you would want to be treated. And sometimes, it's amazing. People very innocently and sweetly point out the faults of other people. In one of the lectures by my own Sheikh, he was quoting some early Muslim, and he said that I can explain to you the whole of Islamic spirituality, the whole of tazkiyah, the whole of spiritual purification, the whole of this whole field of ihsan. I can explain that to you in just two sentences. One sentence is that you should not find faults in other people. And second sentence is that you should not notice your own good attributes. That's it. You can summarize all the spiritual teachings of Islam into these two maxims, two principles. One should not find faults in others, and one should not notice their own good attributes. Notice means that you shouldn't have ujub over them. Obviously, if you have some skill, you have to use it for deen. So you have to use it for khidmat of deen. But you should not be boastful about it. You shouldn't have vanity. You shouldn't attribute it to yourself that it belongs to me. Look, it's my intelligence. I'm eloquent. And I have this skill. And I have that skill. Don't attribute it to yourself. That is vanity. That is ujub. Attribute, if any skill, if you have any skill, attribute it back to Allah Ta'ala. So one shouldn't be boastful about that, about themselves. Even if we were to look at our own faults, we don't even need the second part. That would be enough for us. Just noticing and looking at our own faults. You don't have to blind yourself to the faults of others. Just have to see your own faults. Why? Because when you see the sun, you will be blinded to the candle. When you notice your own faults, you will automatically be blinded to the faults of others around you. So this is a short point, but a very important point on this path, that we should have humility in our heart. And we should practice these two principles of humility every day, that treat others and view as above you, as superior to yourself, view others as better than yourself, and notice your own faults and not to notice the faults of other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq and the ability to adorn ourselves with this sifat and this khuluq of humility in this month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is actually a training for all of us to acquire humility. And the way this happens is that the Prophet said that this month, one of the names of this month, is Shahrul Mawasad, a month where we're supposed to have empathy for others. We're supposed to be compassionate towards others. And what that tells us is that we need to be soft-hearted towards others. We shouldn't be arrogant and full of ourselves. Rather, we should be empathetic, considerate, kind, soft-hearted. And that would then is manifested in the form that one should spend in sadaqah and charity upon others around them. So this is a month where we should try to practice empathy. We should try to practice humility. And if a person feels that they have arrogance, then truly one has to plead Allah, beg Allah, ask Allah, that Ya Allah, remove all such traces, all such feelings of arrogance and pride and vanity from my heart. For truly, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. Allah ta'ala is the true muzakki hakiki. He is the true purifier of our hearts. We can try, and we should try. And we can try this mental exercise that we view ourselves to be lower than everyone else. And another thing that Abraham Shaikh that teaches to practice zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the more and more you do zikr also removes these diseases of the heart. Like the Prophet said that dhikrullah shifa'ul qulub. It's the zikr of Allah is the healing for the hearts. So the more one remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the heart becomes healed healed from these diseases. So we make whatever effort we can on our own, but then turn to Allah, beg Allah Ta'ala in these blessed nights and these blessed days that Allah grant us this attribute of humility, tawazu. Because, and this is the secret, that the first step on this journey towards Allah begins with humility. Having humility and modesty and courtesy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can have courtesy and humility with people around us, then that is part and parcel of having courtesy and humility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot reach Allah with arrogance. We cannot reach Allah with pride. We can only reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come close to Allah ta'ala, if we practice humility with people around us, and that in turn will allow us to have humility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. The Prophet ﷺ said that when someone acquires humility for the sake of Allah, and what is important here is the intention. That's when someone acquires humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise that person up. That person will be raised in the sight of Allah. That person will have an exalted maqam and rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man tawaza'a lillah rafa'ahullah. Whoever lowers themselves for the sake of Allah. And this is important, that it has to be done for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of nafs, not for the sake of dunya, not for the sake of just being politically correct, for the sake of Allah, to humble oneself. Sometimes the nafs might want to act in an arrogant way, to subdue that nafs for the sake of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely will raise this person up. We see that Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala had so much humility, so much humility. He was the Siddiq, the greatest of all the Sahaba, and he had the greatest of all humility. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ, he would sometimes point at Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala and say to the people around him that if you want to see someone who is a walking corpse on the face of this earth, then falyanzur, then look at the son of Abi Kahafa, yani Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. He's walking on the face of this earth with so much humility. Look at him. And this is always a usul, a reward of humility, that Allah will always raise that person up. One beautiful story that we find in the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is that when the Prophet ﷺ went to Ta'if and invited the people of Ta'if, and none of them accepted Iman. In fact, they started pelting the Prophet ﷺ with stones, bruising him, wounding him. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he took refuge in a garden and sanctuary there. He made dua to Allah Ta'ala. Even the angel Jibreel came and said that if you make baddua, we can cause these two mountains to collapse and the entire community will be destroyed. But the Prophet did not make baddua for them. Rather, the Prophet made dua to Allah Ta'ala for their hidayah. But that at that time, the Prophet also made dua to Allah, that Allah, he complained about his weakness, that Allah, I complain to you about my weakness. Allahumma inni ashku zu'fa quwwati. I complain about my weakness to you. I complain about my weak planning to you. Allah, you control me and my forehead is in your dominion. Allah, these are the people who are doing these things to me. But Allah, if you are pleased with me, then nothing matters. Fala ubali. Allah, nothing matters if you are pleased with me. And Allah, if you are not pleased with me, Then Allah, it's necessary for me to it's necessary for me to earn your pleasure. It's necessary for me, but I keep on trying to please you until you become razi and pleased with me. Every word of that dua, it drips of humility. Every word of that dua, it's full of humility, ajizi, humbleness. And then we know that after this event of Taif, when the Prophet ﷺ came back to Makkah Mukarramah, then very soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Prophet ﷺ for this event of Miraj. And the Prophet ﷺ was escorted by the angels and then went all the way up, first to Baitul Muqaddis, and then all the way up to the first sky, then second, then third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and then beyond the seventh, in a place where no other creation has gone, and then in a place where the Prophet ﷺ was in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Miraj, the greatest rank, the spiritual exaltation. So, man tawaza'a lillah, whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah lifts that person up. Allah grants exaltation and rank to that individual. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah Ta'ala also beautify us with this sifat of humility. May Allah Ta'ala remove all such feelings of vanity and pride and arrogance, ujub, kibr, and takabbur from our hearts. May Allah Ta'ala grant us purity in our hearts, purity in our mind, purity in our feelings. May Allah Ta'ala do tazkiyah of our qulub in this month of Ramadan. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we can always live our lives with humility, that we view ourselves to be lower than everyone else, and that we notice our own faults as opposed to noticing the faults of others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to amal on what was said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah.